In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Nostalgia can be a very dangerous thing. It has this tendency to cloud our view of the past so that we see things only for the good and we don't remember the bad so much. When I think back to when I was in high school, I remember things like, you know, going to the movies with my friends or doing video projects for classes. That was always a lot of fun. Or even just hanging out at my neighbor's swimming pool on hot summer evenings. And I think to myself, oh, those were such great times. What I wouldn't give to go back and do that all over again. But then I think about it a little more and I remember the not so pleasant things from high school. Things like the stress of final exams, the angst of high school relationships, and then there's always the acne. So maybe I'll just leave the past in the past where it belongs. Now, it's just as easy for us to get caught up in nostalgia for the church. We look at the New Testament and we think, oh, if only the church was perfect today, like it was in the first century. But is that true? Was the church really perfect back then? Well, you don't really have to go very far to realize that the first century church was actually a bit of a mess. You just need to read 1 Corinthians if you don't believe me. But nevertheless, despite the imperfections, even from her inception, there is still a great deal we can learn about the church from Scripture. Today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, which is commonly understood to be the birthday of the church. Now that doesn't mean All Saints Anglican Church. We haven't been here quite that long. Doesn't mean the Anglican Communion, but when we talk about the birthday of the church, we're speaking of the universal Christian church, what we would call the Church Catholic, with a small c on Catholic. This is the fellowship of all believers worldwide. As Anglicans, we understand this to include all sorts of different Christian groups. The Lutherans and the Baptists, the Presbyterians and the Assemblies of God are all part of the Church Catholic. And we all together on this day celebrate the birth of the Christian church. This morning I'd like to take a look at three things that we can learn about the purpose for the church from the story of Pentecost. And specifically, we're going to look at how the church is called to be active, the church is called to be missional, and the church is called to be communal. So for those of you who are linear thinkers like I am, we're going to look at active, we're going to look at missional, and we're going to look at communal. And then we're going to have a test. So write that down. Well, people living near Mount St. Helens before 1980 didn't really think much of this huge volcano that dominated their skyline. There had been no significant volcanic activity there since 1857. And so those in its wide shadow simply went about their daily lives and business as if it were any other mountain. But then on May 18th, 1980, this dormant volcano suddenly became active again. The eruption was the most destructive volcanic event in U.S. history, both in terms of lives lost and economic impact. The eruption was so fierce that it permanently altered the top of the volcano itself. And suddenly, everyone was paying attention to Mount St. Helens because this active volcano had the power to change literally everything around it. Now, the same sort of thing happened on Pentecost, but instead of lava and gas, it was an explosion of the Holy Spirit. Luke, in his Acts of the Apostles, explains it this way. He says, "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them." So this is not a passive event, but rather it is an active one. Just look at the images that are used on Pentecost. The first one is wind. Now, as a cyclist, I always hated wind, especially a little guy. Wind was my constant nemesis. But for people living in the ancient Near East, wind was incredibly important. Much of their trade was based on the ability of ships to carry large amounts of cargo from one port to the next. And these ships needed wind in order to move. Without it, they were left to simply float aimlessly, or sometimes to not even move at all. Now, the other image that's used is fire. And fire has the ability to actually change the chemical composition of some items. If I were to take a piece of paper right now and set it on fire, it would change into ash. And no matter how hard I tried, I could never change that ash back into paper. The change that it creates is permanent. So these images make it clear that the church is called to be active in the world in a very specific way. Just like wind and fire, the church must constantly be seeking to move people towards God and to change lives with the power of the gospel. And yet, the church always runs the risk of becoming like a dormant volcano, simply hovering in the background of people's lives. When the church is active, however, it causes people to sit up and take notice. It challenges us and moves us not simply to more orthodox belief, but also towards a new life in Christ that is lived out of that belief. It preaches the gospel of God's life-giving and sacrificial love for us, and then it lives that grace out in the world. The story of Pentecost also shows us that the church is called to be missional. The Feast of Pentecost itself is not new or a creation of Christianity. It was actually an ancient Jewish festival that celebrated the beginning of the wheat harvest. It was a time when people prepared to go out into the ripe fields and gather the grain and bring it into barns. Thus, it's no mere coincidence that God chooses this day to send His Holy Spirit to empower the disciples to go out into the harvest of souls and gather them and bring them into the church. Since Pentecost was an important time in the life of the Jews of that day, people from many different nations were already gathered in Jerusalem at this time for the celebration. And Luke tells us that when the Holy Spirit came and filled the disciples, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, it's important to note here that what we see happening on this first Pentecost of the church is actually different from the private prayer language that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. In Acts, the power of the event is not that each person is speaking in their own private language, but rather that all of those who are gathered, with all the different languages represented, are able to hear and understand the gospel in their own native tongue. They say, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language?" The message to the disciples and to us today is that the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins and has been raised to new life is not just for a select few. It's not just for individuals of a certain heritage or of a certain color or of a certain economic background, but rather it is available to all who will believe and come to Christ in faith and repentance. The mission of the church must always center around this imperative to share the good news with others. the first parish that I served after my ordination loved to talk about all of the things that they were going to do to grow and bring people into the church. But they only talked about it. They never actually did anything. And I remember one particular vestry meeting. We were talking about it again. I was only half paying attention because I had heard it all before. And then finally, one of the vestry members decided he was going to be honest. And he said, "Look, we're always talking about what we can do to grow. But there are a lot of us here that don't want to grow. There are a lot of us that are happy with the way things are. And we don't want other people coming in and messing up what we have." And I was shocked. And I actually called another church the next day and set up an interview, and I resigned a week later. I didn't want to waste my time in a church that was not missionally focused. I had no interest at working at a country club. The missional nature of the church means that we strive to bring the lost in rather than work to keep them out. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that everything we do is seeker sensitive, as they say, or that we're simply about getting conversions. Oftentimes, what we do when we gather together on Sunday mornings for worship and fellowship is actually done for the benefit of believers. But it's done with the expectation that those believers, who are then fortified and educated and strengthened in the gospel and with the sacraments, then take that and bring it out into the world and preach the gospel in the world and then bring those people back in. A truly missional church prepares her members for the work of the harvest while opening up a place for that new grain to be brought in. Finally, the church is called to be communal. Luke begins our lesson from Acts by saying, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place." So everything that follows now is part of a communal experience. This is not a private, just me and Jesus thing, but rather it's something that's being shared with other believers. The church begins not within a single heart, but within a community of people who are committed to living their lives together. In our radically individualistic world today, it's easy to lose sight of the communal nature of the church. We have, in many ways, reduced our faith to nothing more than a personal experience. And thus, the church can easily become simply a tool to facilitate that one-on-one encounter with the divine. And while we should all seek to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and spend personal, private, one-on-one time with Him every day, we also need to remember that God intends for us to live our faith out within the context of a worshiping Christian community. One of the things I've always loved about the Anglican liturgy is that it gives us a way that we can pray together, to share a common experience of God rather than simply searching for our own private experience all the time. The word communion literally means to share in common. The church is a gift that Jesus gives us so that we can share together the life that He has given us through His death on the cross. We live in a world today that's really starving for a sense of community. We want to have it, but we have no idea where to find it. We're so connected to the world through social media and instant communication, but we have no idea what it means to have real fellowship with actual human beings. In many ways, the church is truly the last bastion of real community left in our high-tech culture. And while I fully embrace many of these new ways to communicate with people today, we need to be careful that we don't completely replace personal interaction. Now, I'm at times a bit conflicted regarding what we put on our church website. People want more things. They want every service live streamed. They want every sermon and every class on the website. And in some respects, I understand that, but there are times when I have to tell people, you know, for some things, you have to show up. For some things, you have to be present, because this is not just about acquiring information or about having a personal experience. It is about living life together with other believers. Because ultimately, the church is not a building. It's not an organization or an institution, but rather the church is us. It's the fellowship of believers living together. And if we lose that, we lose the church. And that, of course, is definitely not something we want. So if we want to boil this all down to the local level, to the congregation of All Saints Anglican Church in Springfield, Missouri, we need to ask ourselves, how are we doing when it comes to being the church? Are we active? Does All Saints' existence move people towards Jesus Christ? Are we making a difference in the community and in the lives of our members? Are we missional? Are we seeking to train up disciples who can take the gospel out into the world and then bring those people in the world back into the church? Are we communal? Is coming together regularly for worship, for study, and for fellowship a priority for us? Do we share our lives together in common? Last weekend, the vestry spent time in retreat discussing just these questions. And I think the overarching answer to all of these questions is yes. But we can't become complacent. We can't say, good, we've done that. Now time to move on to something else. We must continue to look for ways to be more active, to be more missional, and to be more communal. This is the common vision of the leadership at All Saints. We desire to be the church that God has called us to be, and we are so blessed that we have been called to do that together with everyone who's here. And so let us never lose sight of the tremendous gift of the church that was given to us on Pentecost. And as her people, let us always strive to be active, missional, and communal to the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.